Blog Talk Radio.
Kingdom Ministry. Shalom, family. We pray everybody is had a blessed day, had a blessed Monday, a blessed Tuesday. We are in the baptism and the importance of the water baptism, and we will be dealing with the book of Acts chapter 10 on this evening. I pray everybody is blessed. We want to take the time to greet everybody in Pal Talk, on Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved. I am running off of 0 hours of sleep. I didn't sleep at all last night for some reason. And so y'all forgive me if I am a little bit out of pocket this afternoon, this evening. We are going to do our statement of faith, and then we are going to pray in, do the necessary, and then we're going to jump into this precept. It is very important that people understand that Messiah said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. On tonight, in Acts chapter 10, we are going to be dealing with the introduction of the kingdom to the Gentiles, to the Gentile nations. And we got to understand that this gift of salvation is for the entire earth, even though it was first offered to Israel. But it's for the entire earth. And so on tonight, we're going to be dealing with the book of Acts chapter 10. And I pray that we are able to receive from it. There are some verses within this chapter that a lot of the churches, a lot of the churches have taken out of context. Okay, so let's do our statement of faith, and then we are going to pray in, and we are going to jump into this. I really want to do this entire chapter, chapter 10, not just the verses that I referenced, but the entire chapter. We're going to deal with it. Okay, may have the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads, and let us turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise today on this afternoon. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name, Father. Father, we just worship you and we adore you. We love you, Father. We magnify your name. We come before you humbly, Father, to have that you would teach us this evening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah to your name. There's no other name among men. There's no other name higher anywhere in the creation than your name, Father. And hallelujah. We give you glory and we give you honor and we give you praise this afternoon. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Yah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Let us go to the book of Acts chapter 10. And we're going to do our scripture reading from those verses on this evening. The book of Acts chapter 10. And we're going to be reading verses 44 through 48. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost, or Ruach HaKodesh, fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify Elohim. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost or the Ruach HaKodesh as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Yeshua. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, these are the very verses we're going to be dealing starting in verse 1 on this evening, because there's a lot in Acts chapter 10. We started off in Acts chapter 1 with Messiah's ascension into the heavens, and his making the promise that he would send back the Ruach HaKodesh and that they would receive power. And then in Acts chapter 2, we see that the apostles received power. And in chapter 3, we see the growing of the church. And then we see the dealing of the Ruach HaKodesh with the disciples and with those individuals who come into the church, who are added to the body. And one of the things that we learn, I believe in Acts chapter 5, was that you don't lie to the Ruach. The Most High does not like you lying to him. And so when we lie to him, like Ananias and Sapphira, that you're subject to drop dead, because you got to realize who you're talking to and who you're dealing with. And a lot of times we got to understand there may be a man or a woman before you, but that may not be who you're dealing with. And so if we can understand that you can be talking to the Most High and you don't know it, if you don't have discernment, if you don't have respect, you know, for this occupation and for how the Most High operates. We get into Acts chapter 8, 7. We have Stephen going before Israel and testifying, giving a full rundown of the history of Israel and how our forefathers, you know, they just failed and they just resisted the Ruach. He said, you be stiff-necked and hard-hearted. You do always resist the Holy Ghost or the Ruach HaKodesh. Because the Most High wanted to fill Israel in the wilderness. But he just couldn't be among them because they just murmured and complained, was stiff-necked and hard-hearted. And he refused to fill them. But he wanted to do it in the wilderness when he brought them out of Egypt. He's always desired to dwell in his people. In Acts chapter 8, we have the city of Samaria. Stephen has been martyred. He's been killed. Paul has raised havoc in the church, and he has caused the church to scatter. But the church just didn't scatter running in fear. It was kind of that way, but they were also spreading the gospel at the same time that they were scattering. One of the first places that the Ruach HaKodesh sent them was into Samaria. And you have to ask, why Samaria? Because that's where the lost sheep were at. It's just that simple. That's where the lost sheep was at. And, you know, there were some Gentile nations there as well, but the vast majority of the lost sheep that the Most High considered the remnant of Israel, the northern kingdom, was in Samaria. And they had continued to, you know, worship false gods and idols and things like that. And Messiah sent men ahead of him to teach them about him. So when you see the woman at the well, the woman of Samaria, then you understand that she's a Hebrew Israelite. This is what she claimed, that she was, you know, our father. Are you greater than our father, Jacob? She claims to be of the seed of Jacob. And she, her claim is made rightfully so. So you have to understand that salvation is not offered to the Gentiles until Acts chapter 10. Everybody before then is a Hebrew Israelite, of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, or of the house of Judah. It was not, salvation was not being offered to any Gentiles before this time. So we are coming into this chapter, chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 1. And I want us to understand that, again, I'll point out some certain verses that, you know, people tend to use, the church tends to use, eat unclean, you know, all kind of different things in this chapter. But the Most High uses unclean animals to represent the Gentiles. And then he tells you, you know, he tells Peter, when we read this, Peter, get down and go kill one of those unclean animals and eat it. Peter says, not so, for nothing unclean or common has ever, you know, touched my lips. But we got to understand, as the Most High tells Peter, what I declare to be clean is clean. If I tell you that that unclean animal is clean, it is clean. Why? Because I'm the one that told you it was unclean. I'm the one that declared that it was unclean to you. And if I want to change my mind and say that it's clean to you, it's not up to you to argue about it. So he uses this not to tell Peter to start eating unclean, but that the unclean animals represent the Gentile nations and that he was going to clean up the Gentile nations. So let's start. Let's go ahead and kick this off. And I want you to understand, we did read and we studied in, I believe it was 1 Corinthians chapter 13 or 14. And we talked about the gift of tongues. And we talked about tongues being for the unbeliever. But the unbeliever was not that rank sinner that didn't believe in the Most High. That wasn't the unbeliever. The unbeliever was somebody who was already saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, but didn't know if you were. They don't believe that you are. They don't have any proof that you are. That's the unbeliever. It's not the sinner. Because, you know, a sinner who is an unbeliever is not going to believe, number one, speaking in tongues. It's not a sign to them. Okay? Because they're already in unbelief. They already are lack of knowledge. Okay? So, and we're going to prove that out this evening, because what I want you to take note of as we study this chapter, Peter's already filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. The ones that come with Peter are already filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. These are all Hebrews. We'd have to go to Acts chapter 11 to find that out, who they were. But this is a new work that the Most High is going to do. He's going to pour out of his Spirit on the Gentiles. Why would Peter them ever believe that the Most High would pour out his Spirit upon the Gentiles? So they need a sign. They need something to show them that the Most High has accepted the Gentiles. We'll read what that is, okay? Remember, Peter and them, they're bringing the gospel. They're already water baptized and Spirit filled. So what sign do they need to let them know that the Most High has accepted the Gentiles? The book of Acts, chapter 10, starting in verse 1. That's just our overview of it. Now let's read what thus saith Yah Elohim within this chapter. And again, everybody up until this point that the Spirit has been poured out on are not Gentiles. They are Hebrew Israelites until this point. The book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man. Now, he's a Italian, a Roman, but he's devout. He has heard about the living Elohim. He has come to be a believer in Elohim, and he has wanted to join himself to Israel. And that was not unheard of. Proselytes, someone who heard about the way, the keeping of the law, the Elohim of Israel, and wanted to join themselves to us. So he's a proselyte, and he's a devout man, one that feared Elohim with all his house. So it's not just him, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to Elohim always. Okay, so this is a devout Gentile. He has accepted the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. He fears the Most High. And he's praying to the Most High, what more do I have to do? And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of Elohim coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord or Master? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before Elohim. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. Now, what I want us to understand is, you got to understand how the Most High typically operates, especially when it comes to this gospel and salvation. The angel could have told Cornelius exactly what to do, but he sent him to tell him, hey, I want you to send for Peter. Your alms and your prayers, they have come up all the way up to heaven unto the Most High. But send for Peter, because this is the job given to the apostles and all of the disciples of the Most High, of Messiah. This is the gospel that's given unto us and the job that's given unto us. Send for Peter. He lodged with one Simon Tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtst to do. Send for him. He's going to tell you exactly what you need to do. Now, here's a problem. Peter is a devout Jew. And his understanding is we don't go to those of another nation. So the Most High has to deal with Peter at the same time he's dealing with Cornelius. And let's see what happens here. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants. Now I want you to look at these servants, okay? Two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. So Cornelius was a devout man. He also had converted other soldiers who were devout as well and feared the Most High. All of his house. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow or the next day, as they went on their journey and drew nigh or near of the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. This is about noontime. Cornelius saw this angel about 3 in the afternoon. Peter's going up, and it's noon hour of the day, and he's up on the roof, and they are really getting ready to eat, and he's waiting for them to prepare the food. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. So it's noontime, lunchtime. He goes up onto the roof, and before he can come down to go eat, he falls into this trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. Now, we know that creeping things, the wild beasts, we can't really tell whether they're clean or unclean, but it's going to tell us. But we know creeping things are unclean except for what? Grasshoppers, locusts. Those are edible, and they're not considered to be unclean. So wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Master. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what Elohim has cleansed, that call thou not common. So we got to understand, if you go back into the book of Genesis, I think it's about chapter 19, somewhere in there, and I could be mistaken on that. When Noah and his sons come off the boat, come off the ark, Noah and his sons are told everything that moves is good for food. The Most High didn't declare, even though he had declared it was some clean animals and unclean animals, he told Noah and his sons everything is good for food. Just like I've given you all the green herbs, I've given you all the animals, and they shall be good for food for you. Okay, now we hear up here in the book of Acts chapter 10, we have this sheet let down. The law has been given concerning the dietary for the people, the priests of the Most High, that, okay, I told Noah and his sons everything is good to eat. Now I'm telling you, these things are unclean to you. You want to come close to me and be my priesthood? These things are unclean to you. You can't eat these things and come close to me. Okay? There's this, a change there. Now we're in Acts chapter 10. The Most High lets down this sheet to Peter with all these unclean animals in it. And he tells Peter, get down and go kill and eat. Peter's like, uh-uh. Ain't nothing unclean or common ever passed my lips. But the Most High is telling him, what I declare to be clean, don't you declare to be common or unclean. I'm the one that determines what's clean and unclean. If I say it's now clean, it is clean. And so he really has to recondition Peter. Because Peter's like, I'm not going to do that. But the Most High has to make it clear to him that it is he who decides what is clean and unclean. Because Peter's about to be disobedient. Okay? This was done thrice or three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, if we were to leave those verses right there, just like they are, you might believe that the Most High just told Peter that everything that is unclean is good to eat now. But that's not really what he's telling him. He's using these animals as an example. It's who you got to look for who they're an example of. Now, while Peter doubted in himself, because he doubted. He still, what did I just see? What did I just hear? He's telling me to go against the law. This is ingrained in him. And he's still in what? Doubt, in shock. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision, which he had seen, should mean, Behold, the men that were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry at Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. Does he live here? While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek you. Arise therefore, get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now, the reason that he's got to tell Peter this is, and Peter's going to explain it to us, it's unlawful for me to go to one of another nation. Remember, the Most High told us, don't mix. When whoever's in the land, I want you to kick them out of the land and don't mix with them, because I've already determined that the things that they do are an abomination to me. They worship other gods. They pass their children through the fire. They have sex at their religious ceremonies. They're worshiping all these other gods, and I've already predetermined that I don't want you mixing with them. So Peter's like, that's where he's at. Okay, so we got to understand his mentality and why the Most High has to tell him this. Get down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Because you're going to look and say, oh, these are some Gentiles. I can't go with you. If the Most High didn't tell him to, he wouldn't have gone. Okay? Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? Why are you here? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that fears Elohim, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from Elohim by a holy angel to send for you into his house, and to hear words of you. Then called he them in, and lodged them. And on the morrow, the next day, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Now, you're not going to know who these certain brethren are. These are Hebrews that have been filled with the Ruach. They've been saved, and they go with Peter. I believe it's six of them. You'll read that in Acts chapter 11. Okay? These certain men. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. So Cornelius is serious about this thing. His family is serious about it. His friends, those people who deal with him, they are living a devout life. So he calls them all to hear this word. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up. I myself also am a man. So you will see, brothers say, see, the Gentiles are supposed to fall down at our feet and worship us. I'm like, brother, you can't be that desperate for attention. It's not what this is about. Didn't Peter tell this brother to get up? He himself is just a man. Now, when the angel came, we don't hear about Cornelius falling down and worshiping this angel. But when Peter comes in, because the Most High says, send for him, then he himself, in his mind, feels that Peter's at a higher level than this angel. But the truth of the matter is, Peter is just a what? Man. That's all he is, and he corrects him right away, because the angels will tell you, worship Elohim, okay? And as he talked with them, he went in and found many that were come together, and he said unto them, You know how that is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. He let them know right away, you know that this is an unlawful thing. There's a law that says I'm not supposed to come here. Peter was struggling with this thing from the very beginning. Get down. Go kill and eat that unclean animal. Now, the Most High told me to come with these Gentiles and not to fear anything, for he has sent them. Now he's telling Cornelius and the men that are there, you know how that is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But Elohim has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. He showed him common and unclean animals. But Peter finally got it. He's not talking about those animals. He's talking about these Gentile nations that the Most High says, now I'm going to start taking them in and I'm going to make them clean. And I'm going to make them acceptable to me. So he finally gets it, but he was struggling. What? You want me to break the law? What? You tell me to break the law? You know this is unlawful for me to even go to one of another nation. Most High, you know it's unlawful for me to eat those unclean things. And the Most High had to tell him, what I declare to be clean, don't you declare to be unclean. Don't you declare to be common. I'm the one that determines what is clean and unclean. Had I not told you that the swine was unclean to you, you'd be eating pork chops right now. But I told you that they were unclean to you. I told you what animals were clean and what were unclean. I told you what people were clean and what people were unclean. Now I'm telling you I'm going to clean up the Gentiles. And he gets it. Okay? So here is a change. One of the changes in the law that the Hebrew could not go out amongst the other nations. Now they can. You have to hear that. Okay? Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, without arguing. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore, for what intent have you sent for me? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And he said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of Elohim. Send therefore to Joppa, and call here Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who when he comes shall speak unto you. Immediately, therefore, I sent to you, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before Elohim, to hear all the things that are commanded thee of Elohim. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that Elohim is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. So we got to understand that the Most High said, told Abraham, I'm going to make of you a father of many nations. But the Most High salvation has always been intended for the world, the earth. Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, sinned. All other people really come out of them. So this promise goes all the way back there. And then when we come to Noah and the flood, then we have a new generation. But the promise goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. Okay, so the Most High is letting Peter know, no matter what nation somebody is in, no matter what their ethnicity is, if they fear me and do righteousness, then they are accepted with me. See, he always told Israel, and so we want to get this because this has always been what the Most High has said he wanted. In every nation, he that fears him, not he that loves him, even in Israel, if you will indeed obey my voice and not break my covenant and fear me and keep my commandments. The requirement is no different for the Gentile. So this fear of the Most High is very real, and when we can't do that, you cannot really fulfill the scriptures because your mindset is not right before the Most High. You don't have a healthy respect of him to know that to mess up with him is something that you should fear doing. If you don't fear messing up before the Most High, if you feel like, oh, the Most High knows I'm a human being and I'm just whatever, and that's your attitude toward this, then you will never develop the right level of fear for him, the right level of respect for him. The Gentiles also had to understand that and know that. So he says, in every nation, those that fear him and work righteousness, not fear him and do evil. It's opposite. There's a word for that. An oxymoron. That is like you saying, I fear you, but I'm still going to break your statutes, laws, and commandments. Well, how much do you really fear me then? You must not fear me. You don't fear the judgment to come. You don't fear what I might do to you. You don't fear the repercussions of doing it. So how much do you really fear me? And then how much do you really love me? So we say a lot of things, but from the very beginning, Peter's letting us know, in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with Elohim. Israel just happens to be the nation that he chose to be his priesthood, to take this gospel to the world, and is going to continue to be his priesthood. But guess what? Some Gentiles are going to be able to join the nation of Israel. They always have been able to. If the stranger wants to come close, then he got to do these things. He got to be willing to live by the same commandments and everything that is put on Israel. Can't say I'm a Gentile of another nation and I want to be close to the Most High, but I don't want to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. I don't want to have the same requirements put on me as put on the nation of Israel. Then you don't want to come close. You still want to remain a Gentile. And you can do that and fear the Most High and be acceptable with him, but you can't be his priest. His priesthood. Because that's what Israel is. And so we got to understand that when he opens up this gospel and the kingdom to the Gentiles, they have a choice. They don't have to become members of the nation of Israel because salvation is not about that. That's not what salvation is about. And some people, I think, mix those two up. So, different lesson, but understand that this thing is open to the Gentile nations. Okay? Anybody that fears the Most High and works righteousness, not wickedness, not want to remain in their sin, not want to make excuses, but they work righteousness, they are accepted with Elohim. The word which Elohim sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Yeshua HaMashiach, he is Elohim, or he is Lord of all. The word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. So now he's running down to Capernaum. This is how this thing came down. John the Baptist came preaching the baptism of repentance. Make straight the path of Yah. He baptized in the name of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. Israel, behold your Elohim. He's coming to bring you salvation. He's coming to save you, as it was written in the scriptures. So he's telling him, hey, John went about preaching baptism. The baptism which John preached, which was unto repentance. And how Elohim anointed Yeshua of Nazareth with the Ruach HaKodesh and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For Elohim was with him. And we are witnesses of all the things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him Elohim raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before Elohim, the Most High God, devout men out of every nation. He got those people and he showed Messiah only to 120. These were devout people. He said, go to Jerusalem and wait on the promise, which the Father has told you of, which I told you of, which we read about in the book of Joel and in the book of Jeremiah. Okay? So he tells them, go to Jerusalem and wait, about 120 of them. These are the witnesses to him. And they saw him, but not everybody saw him. Not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before Elohim, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify, it is he which was ordained of Elohim to be the judge of the quick and the dead. The live and the dead. See, when we read in the book of Romans, you see a change in the Elohim of creation. You see a change in him in the role of Messiah. Messiah would tell you that the Elohim of the Old Testament is the Elohim of the living. He is not the Elohim of the dead. But when he does this work and is crucified and pays the price and comes out of the grave, he then takes on and becomes the Elohim of the living and the dead. And so right here it says it a different way. He became the judge of the quick, which is the living, and the dead. Another title added to him. He gets another, well, we'll just keep it that title. I don't know another name to call that. But who he's going to affect and who he's going to deal with changes. So that's why he says in Romans chapter 14, if somebody chooses death, because we have only two choices. And we learned that even from Torah. You got two choices. I set before you two choices, life and death. Those are your only two choices. Those are the only two choices we have ever had. He says, now, if somebody claims to be in me, claim that they belong to me, they believe in Messiah, he says, I don't want you arguing with them if they choose death, because I'm now the Elohim of the living and the dead. Everybody's going to come and have to stand before me. I don't want you bickering amongst yourselves. If that person says that they believe in me, and you see them doing things that you know will bring them death, he says, don't be arguing with them. Don't be causing schisms in the body, especially if they won't listen to you. They swear that they are doing the right thing. That's why he says, one esteemeth herbs and another one esteemeth meat. He says, don't argue about those things. One esteemeth one day more than another. One esteemeth every day. He's talking about those people's individual beliefs, but I'm telling you that it's a test, and it's to show what's in you. The Most High said, honor the Sabbath. So how are you going to come up with another day? How are you going to make it every day? when he said, it's this day. He says, but they are choosing death because they're choosing to break the covenant. I only give you two choices. Now, you say you believe in me as Messiah? He said, don't argue with them. And I'm telling you, don't argue with them. Because they have chosen death, even in Messiah. I am the judge of the quick and the dead. I'm going to judge you who have life, and I'm going to judge them that have death. Don't you argue with them. Don't make no schisms in the body. They say they're for me. If they say they're for me, then they're not against you. So if you're walking and keeping the laws, the statutes, the laws, and the commandments, if you're walking and keeping them, if you're choosing life, don't be afraid of what they're doing. And this is something everybody can't hear. But it's okay. It's in the book. He is the judge of the quick and the dead. And if they want to choose death, let them choose death. You can only save yourself. Let's keep going. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Ruach HaKodesh fell on all them which heard the word. Now, all them that heard the word received the Holy Spirit. And they have not been baptized in water yet. They heard the word. Unlike the people in Acts chapter 8. They heard the word and they were all baptized, men and women, in the name of Yeshua. But it testifies that the Ruach HaKodesh had not fallen on any of them. They were only baptized in the name of Yeshua. Here we have the Gentiles being filled with the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, and they have not been baptized in water yet. It's not about the order, because we're going to see. You would say, oh, these people already got the Holy Ghost. What do they need being baptized? Why should they be baptized? They already got the Ruach HaKodesh. But Messiah said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. While Peter yet spake these words, the Ruach HaKodesh fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed, were astonished. Now these are believers. These are the of the circumcision. These are the Hebrews that came with Peter from Joppa. And they're astonished. Why? As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now you gotta ask, how do they know this? How do they know that the Gentiles have received the Ruach HaKodesh? Because we're told that the Holy Ghost fell on them. But how would Peter and the other Jews that were with him, how would they know that? Because they're in astonishment, because they would have never believed that the Most High would have poured out his Spirit on the Gentiles. So they needed a sign. Next verse. For they heard, this is how they knew, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify Elohim. This is how they knew. The believers didn't believe that the Most High would pour out the gift of the Holy Ghost on the Gentiles, so they needed a sign that would show them. What was that sign? Well, they heard them speak in other tongues. Just like they did. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify Elohim. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? Wait a minute. If they already got filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, what they need water for? Because that is what's required. Doesn't matter whether you get baptized in the water first and then receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Or you receive, in this case, the baptism of the Holy Spirit first. And then water. Got to do both. Can't leave one undone. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Yeshua. Then prayed them, they him, to tarry certain days. So what we got to understand is the formula. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. You can be born of the Spirit first. You can be devout and be doing everything you know to do. And the Most High says, I'm going to fill you with my Spirit. I'm going to make you my child. You still got to go complete the other half of the baptism, which is the water portion. So it doesn't matter which one comes first. Just know that whoever is going through this process has to do both. You know, because some people would think that, hey, they're filled with the Ruach. Why do they got to go in the water? That don't serve no purpose, but it does serve a purpose. That old man still got to die and be buried. You still got to come up out of that water. Got to complete the process. So in this case, we see that when the Most High poured out the Spirit on the Gentiles, he did it before they were baptized. Israel was baptized in water, all of Israel. So John baptized all of Israel unto repentance. And then they had to get rebaptized when Messiah came into his kingdom. Had to get rebaptized. So the water baptism is very necessary. If you get filled with the Ruach first, you still got to go in that water. If you get filled with the water first, if you go down in the water first, you still got to be filled with the Ruach. There is no if and or, you know, either or. Got to have both. But the order doesn't matter. That's what I want us to understand. Some people say, hey, you can't be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh if you ain't been baptized yet. That's not true. That's not true. And every person, because of the Most High looks at the heart, he could baptize them with the Ruach. And then say, all right, you need to go find somebody to baptize you in water. And they'll know what to do. And then you got those who get baptized with the water first. And somebody's got to tell them, hey, you got to get baptized with the Ruach also, with the Spirit. And it's not an automatic thing. Because that's one of the lies that certain denominations, certain churches have told. As soon as you accept Messiah, you're saved. No, you're not. As soon as you get baptized in the water, you automatically have the Holy Spirit. No, you don't. You could have. But not necessarily, and typically, it doesn't happen that way for most people. Most people have to go and tarry, just like he told the disciples to go tarry. They'd already been baptized. Now go to Jerusalem and wait and tarry so that you can be baptized with the Ruach. You shall receive power. That's the way it happens for most. But not necessarily is that going to, it's not written in stone. That's what I really want everybody to understand. As long as you do it all, then you have completed what Yah has said to do. If he fills you with the Ruach first, he's going to send you to go get baptized. If you get baptized first, somebody should be telling you you need to be filled with the Ruach also. And they shouldn't be telling you that it's automatic because, number one, then that causes a lot of people never to tarry for or to believe that they got to even be filled with the Ruach. It's just an automatic thing. But it's not. And it's typically not automatic. But it can be, as we saw here. That's what I want you to understand. We see the Most High fill the Gentiles with his Spirit and then commands them to get baptized in water. If one was independent of the other, or if one was could be done without the other, surely when they got filled with the Ruach, he wouldn't say you got to be baptized in water too if it wasn't required. But it is. So he commanded that they should be baptized in the name of Yeshua. You got to be baptized into him. It's the only way you get credit for the blood. So I pray we can understand this. Any questions, area? This salvation is for everyone. Doesn't matter what nation they are from. Doesn't matter what ethnicity they are from. If they fear Elohim and work righteousness, he said they are acceptable to him. Because, you know, we got people teaching a doctrine out there that these, who he calls the Gentiles right here, they would tell you that these are Hebrew Israelites that just wasn't living right. And that there is no such thing really in their eyes as a Gentile nation. Because they have made Israel the Gentile nations. They have made the Gentiles the Gentile nations. And it's just a whole bunch of confusion. But what the Most High calls, you know, you can be a Hebrew acting like a Gentile. That don't change your ethnicity, though, just the way you act. But the truth of the matter is, the Most High, from the very beginning, from Adam and Eve, he made the promise to Eve that your seed will bruise the head of the serpent. That is the Messiah. And that was for all mankind, because when Adam and Eve fell, death came to everybody. And this didn't come to them. Everybody after them, death came to them. So this promise here, when he says, now I'm going to pour out my Spirit on the Gentile nations. I brought it to my people. Some of them accepted it. The most part of them rejected it. So I'm going to also open up this kingdom. I'm going to use the blindness of Israel. I'm going to use their stiff neck and their hard-heartedness. And I'm going to offer this thing to the Gentile nations. And I'm going to put Israel to sleep. I'm going to blind them and put them to sleep for a while. And then I'm going to wake them up. Now, when we do Romans chapter 11, I believe it's Romans chapter 11. Then we'll find that there was a transfer from Israel to the Gentiles for a period. My Hebrew brothers and sisters don't like to hear me say that, but Brother Miles didn't say that. It's in the scripture. It's in the scripture. And while we were being chastised and punished for our stiff neck and hard-heartedness, the Most High used the Gentiles. And then said he would wake us back up. And we have to understand this. It's just truth. Don't have to, you know, feel one way or another about it. Because it is what is written. that he did. But when it comes to the salvation and his plan of salvation, understand that water baptism is necessary. It is necessary. And you cannot get by it. You can't just say, oh, I got the Ruach HaKodesh, and then say, I don't need the baptism of the water. I don't need to be baptized in Messiah's name. Wrong. Can't say, oh, I got baptized in his name, but I don't need the Ruach. Wrong. You got to have both. And so this is why you always hear me harp on this constantly. Because if you don't have both, you're not complete. You have not received your salvation. You have not received your citizenship. You have not become a child of Elohim. Because remember, Messiah came to give us the power to become the sons of Elohim, the children of Elohim. But if you don't do both of these, we're looking at the water mainly because we're going to do a whole segment on the Spirit next lesson. But it's hard to talk about one or the other without talking about both of them. So you got to be baptized of the water. Here, again, what I want to focus on so you can understand. So those doctrines that come at you, those people who come at you all kind of different ways, that you understand that you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Doesn't matter the order. If the Most High chooses to fill somebody with his Spirit first, they still got to be baptized by water in the name of Yeshua or the name of Jesus Christ, either or. If you are baptized in the water first, then you got to receive the baptism of the Spirit. Got to have both. Right now, we're looking at the importance of the water, because if it wasn't important, after these Cornelius and his family were filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the Most High, then Peter would have said, hey, let's go home. They got it. It's not what he said. He commanded that they should be filled with the Holy, that they should be baptized in water after they were filled with the Ruach. And how did he know that they were filled with the Ruach HaKodesh? The scriptures tell us. For they heard them speak in other tongues. That's why, again, I want to reiterate on that point as well. There is a gift of tongues. And there is what I call a birth tongue, not your earthly birth tongue, but when you are filled with the Spirit of the Most High. And that conversation can be interpreted. Peter them understood what was being said. So for they heard them magnify Elohim. But then as you go on, that typically becomes what I call your birth tongue, in that what you speak with the Most High, you and him. That A and B conversation between you and him. No man don't need to interpret it. No man is not a message for anybody else. Just a message between you and the Most High. Conversation. Okay. But it's got to happen. And as I said, the unbelievers are not those rank sinners who don't believe in the Most High. These are men or women who have already been filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and don't know if you have been, and this is a sign. And that's what it's for. The Most High is there. So you get people who get desperate, and that's, you know, I try to say, hey, don't do that. I said, because I was once like you, in the church, seeing the Most High fill people with his Ruach, and they speaking in tongues, and he wouldn't fill me. I was like, why? Why won't you feel me? Why? What's wrong with me? How come you won't do that for me? But it wasn't really him. It was me that was the problem. Still wanted to hold on to some things in this world. Still didn't want to submit myself 100% to him. Trying to live halfway in the world and halfway in the kingdom. It don't work. So So I've seen people that have mimicking spirits. They know what the scripture says. You ever heard of those people talking about somebody taught them how to speak in tongues? That ain't supposed to happen. Ain't nobody supposed to teach you nothing concerning that, except for what it is, but not supposed to teach you how to speak in tongues. No, that's an abomination. That's a mimicking spirit. Somebody's teaching you how to mimic them instead of the Spirit giving you utterance, instead of you speaking as the Spirit gives you utterance. You're going to start mimicking what you heard somebody else say. No, that's an abomination. Doesn't work that way. And so when I hear people say, oh, I was taught, I'd be like, I don't hear no more. I don't want to say nothing to you about it, but I don't want to hear no more. Because I know what that is. So it must happen. And don't be afraid of it. Don't fight it. When you are praying, open up your mouth and praise the Most High out of your mouth. Praise Him from your heart. It will happen for you when He sees that your heart is pure before Him. When you get out of yourself, approach Him from a pure heart. I just love you, Father. I just want to be your child. Fill me with your Spirit. Ask Him. That's what He says. Ask. So we don't want to not have both of these, because Messiah said it is a requirement. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. We're dealing with of the water. So let's go next to the book of Acts, chapter 16. The book of Acts, chapter 16. And we're going to get verses 25 through 33. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto Elohim. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Now the Most High just come through, sent an angel, come through and open up the prison doors and loose everybody's chains. And the jailer knows he's responsible, okay? And the keeper of the prison, that's the jailer, awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Every person needs to ask themselves that question, what must I do to be saved? That is what Cornelius was asking. That is what the people on the day of Pentecost asked all the disciples when they heard them speaking in other tongues and heard them witnessing of Messiah. What must we do to be saved? This jailer comes and says, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on Yah, Yeshua HaMashiach, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of Yah, and to all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. So this jailer, he's asleep. The angel of the Most High comes through and there's an earthquake and the jail doors burst open. And then the shackles fall from everybody's feet and arms or legs and arms. And he's about to kill himself. Because he knows what his boss is going to do to him. You let all the prisoners escape? No, you must have been in on that. So he's just going to kill himself. And Paul cries out to him and says, hey, don't hurt yourself. Don't harm yourself. We all still here. And he's heard them singing. And he's heard the gospel. But he still don't quite know it and understand it. So they tell it to him again. And he asks, what must I do to be saved? And we see that he goes to wash their stripes. And he was baptized. He and all his house. Straightway, right away. So this baptism is a must. Let's go do the Christian update. I call this one the Christian update. Because when Mosai first showed me this, I was still in the church. A lot of people in the church. A lot of people at church, but not in church. Going through the motions. They've been baptized in Messiah's name, but hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit. Had been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hadn't been baptized in the right name. Acts chapter 19. And let me pull this up. We're going to start in verse 1. But I call this one the Christian update because we have some disciples here. These are believers. They're believing in John's baptism. They're not, you know, John didn't preach them to, you know, teach them to live wicked lives. He said, hey, repent from your sins. These were believers. Okay? They're disciples of John, though. They realized that and learn that there's a better, a more perfect way. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost, since you believed? Now, he understands that these are believers. He understands that they've been baptized. He didn't know unto what. But when they tell him, he understands. But the first thing is, have you received the Ruach? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Ruach HaKodesh or Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? How did you get baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily or truly baptized with the baptism of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Come and get baptized. Repent. Turn from your sins. But he didn't baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He didn't baptize them in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. That wasn't his baptism. He baptized them unto repentance. Y'all better repent and get right. Yah is coming. Make straight his path. Get ready for him. So Paul is asking these disciples of John, number one, have you received the Ruach HaKodesh since you believed? They're like, we ain't even heard whether there be any such thing as the Ruach HaKodesh or the Holy Ghost. And nobody told us about nothing like that. Then he said, well, unto what were you baptized? What were you baptized unto? We were baptized unto John's baptism. What are you talking about? Yeah, John truly baptized unto repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus or Yeshua HaMashiach. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. That's why I said this is one of those instances where you get rebaptized, because you were baptized. Not that it was a bad baptism, but it wasn't a baptism, the right baptism. It wasn't the more perfect baptism. So even those who get baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, those are titles. Father is a title. Son is a title. Holy Spirit is a title. He says you have to be baptized in the name of the one who holds those titles. So, you know, again, I say to those who are Trinitarian, if verse 5, when it says that they were baptized in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or your Bible, the Lord Jesus. Oh, wait a minute. Didn't it say Father, in the name of the Father? Didn't it say in the name of the Son? Didn't it say in the name of the Holy Spirit? So they should, to complete the instruction, they should be finding three names, or they all got the same name. I mean, this is just, if you're going to complete what the instruction, if I tell you, you need to get baptized in the name of your father, your grandfather's son, and your uncle's brother. And you say, I baptize you in the name of my father, my grandfather's son, and my uncle's brother. Well, that could be the same person. And in this case, it is the same person. That's why we only have one name. Yeshua HaMashiach is Yah, the Ruach HaKodesh in flesh. That is who and what he is. That is who and what he was. He says, but when I'm in his flesh, I want you to know me as the Son. But there's only one of me, and I'm doing it all. But while I'm in this flesh, you know me as the Son. When I return to my throne in heaven, I'm going to send back my Spirit. And I'm going to baptize you into me. One name. One Spirit, and we've been over this several times, only one Spirit. So when they heard this, they were baptized in the name that they were told to be baptized in, Yeshua HaMashiach. Verse 6, when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost, or the Ruach HaKodesh, came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. So this is the Christian update. This is the update for all of us who have been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who weren't taught that we got to receive the Ruach HaKodesh, that it was part of our baptism, part of our salvation. For all those who received the baptism only, but never received the Ruach, who were baptized for the wrong reason, then have you heard the truth? Now that you have heard the truth, you can get rebaptized again because you were baptized in error. But if you were baptized in truth at first, and just played around, you know, were stiff-necked and hard-hearted, No, you need to repent of that and go before the Father and ask for his Spirit. Repent, truly repent, because you have the truth. I don't see anywhere else in Scripture where they were rebaptized. And when I look at this chapter right here, unto what were you baptized? Have you heard? No, we ain't no so much as heard would there be a Holy Ghost. Unto what were you baptized? How were you baptized? Oh, we were baptized under John's baptism of the unrepentance. Oh, let me give you the update. You need to be baptized in Yeshua's name. This is what this water baptism, we went over that earlier, that we are baptized into his death. The Most High says, I need to kill you. But if I kill you in your present condition, you go into the lake. So I need to be able to kill you in such a way that I give you credit for death. I'm going to baptize you into Messiah, who has already died and risen. I'm going to baptize you into his death. And I'm going to give you credit for death. And when you come out of that water, I'm going to see you as a new creature. I'm not going to see you as you. I'm going to see you as Messiah, as Yeshua. And so we got to understand this so that, number one, we take the mystery out of it, but we also take the lies out of it and the deception out of it. Because the enemy will have you believe, and if you got half of it, you got it. And that's a lie. Because Messiah said you must be born of both, water and spirit. That spirit is not his word. That's not his word. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. But they are not the spirit. The words themselves will lead you to life. But they are not the Spirit himself. They are not the speaker of the word, of the words. So we got people out there that believe that they can just read this Bible, and the more Bible they read, the more Spirit they got, the more Holy Spirit they got. It is a lie and it's deception. It is their way of trying to get into the kingdom without fulfilling what the Most High has said. When we, all of these examples that we read, the people heard the word. Didn't say that they were filled with the Ruach when they heard the word. Okay, so I don't want us to be deceived. I don't want us to believing that in lies and half truth. Got to do both. We saw that even when Cornelius and his family were filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, they still had to go get baptized in the water. We go back to Romans chapter 8. And find out that all the people in the city of Samaria, the men and the women that believed, they all got baptized in the name of Yeshua in the water. It says, but the Holy Ghost had fallen upon none of them. Then they sent for Peter and John. Because the Ruach had not fallen on any of them. Got to have both. Can't be, and you know, don't let your pride, don't let fear get in your way. So we see here, these men have been baptized into John's baptism. They have been baptized in water. They had to do it again because they had not been baptized into Messiah. And then Paul laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues. Here's the sign. Because see, when the Ruach HaKodesh lights on someone, unless the Most High gives you some type of spiritual discernment, vision, you don't see anything. When the Most High filled me with the Ruach, I didn't see anything come upon me. I sure felt it though, but I didn't see anything. That's why Messiah says the kingdom of Elohim comes without observation. You can't see it. The only evidence that you have is, he says, this is the sign. For we heard them speak in other tongues. That's the sign. And so we got to understand that, got to do this water portion of it, got to do the spiritual portion of it. Where are we at? Let me see where we're at. Okay, let's move on. When we are baptized, how do we share in the experiences of HaMashiach? How do we share in the experiences of Messiah when we are baptized? Go to the book of Romans, chapter 6. These are things that I've already said to you, but I don't want you to just believe that Brother Miles said it and it's not written. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. I need to kill you. You rather need to kill yourself. That old man, that old sinful you, that would break the statutes, laws, and commandments, that would not keep the covenant. And in a lot of cases, loving it. Because all sin didn't feel bad. All sin didn't taste bad. All sin didn't look bad. So a lot of this stuff we reveled in, ran after it, because we liked it. Had to kill off that person. Had to make a conscious decision. I'm no longer going to be that person. I am turning away from those things. I'm dying to those things. I'm dying to that old person. Then you should be buried. Now, this is Brother Miles speaking right now because to have it to stick, when the person knows what they're doing, understands why they're doing it, it will stick. So you die to that old person. Then you're buried by baptism into Messiah's death. That like as HaMashiach was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. You go down in that water. You're buried. That old man, you have killed him off. I don't do these things anymore. I'm done with them. That old person is what? Dead. And you get baptized into Messiah. You come up out of the water walking in the newness of life. At that point, when you come out of that water, then you are sinless. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. All your sins to that point were forgiven. That's why I said it is better that people know what they are coming into and why, because he's just going to hold you because you know what you're holding on to, and it's not just all feeling or emotion, but you understand what is at stake and why it's at stake. So you understand that I just buried the old man. He don't exist no more. She don't exist no more. I don't care what my friends say. They're going to see the same shell. They're going to see the same house. They knew me when I used to party and get drunk and get high, screw around, steal, lie, and cheat. They knew me when. And they still think it's the same person. But I died to that person. So they're looking at the old house, but not realizing that there's a new occupant. Somebody else lives here now. And though they got that old person's memories, it's not supposed to be that same old person. I pray we can hear this. Colossians chapter 2. The book of Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen him with him through faith in the operation of Elohim, who has raised him from the dead. You believe that the Most High raised Mashiach from the dead? Believe also that he's going to raise you from the dead, and he has already raised you. All you got to do is walk in the newness of life. And when you die, you're not really dead. You go to sleep. You're just waiting to be reawakened at the appropriate time, because he has promised that he will raise us all from that sleep. But if we die in our sins, we are dead, because we're waking up to death. We're waking up going to the lake. That's death. So we can believe that we are saved. We can know that we are saved. We can know that we walk in the newness of life if we understand the process and maintain it. Don't turn around and go back into our vomit. Don't go and pick up that old dead man. But first you got to die to him. That's why many of us go down in that water, come out, and we are still struggling with the same old things, because we never killed off that man. We never died to him. Went down in the water, got wet, and came back up the same wet person. Never killed off that old man. Never said, you know what? Cigarettes. You don't have no power over me no more. You don't have no power over me no more. Alcohol, you don't have no power over me no more. I'm dead to these things. Unhealthy relationships, unholy relationships, I'm dead to those no more. You don't want me the right way, you don't want me at all. I'm dead to that stuff no more. That was the old me. That person has died off. And I buried them in Messiah. They're buried in his death. And I'm a new creature. I'm a new creation. The Most High don't see me the same way. He made a way where there was no way. He didn't just pay my debt. He said, I not only paid your debt, but I made a way for you to change your status. Because if I just paid your debt, you would be just a forgiven debtor. You still owe me because you couldn't pay the price. That's why I use this example with people. If I loan you $100 and I forgive you that $100, are you still a debtor? Yes, you are. You're still a debtor. Until you pay that off. That's the only way you can change your status. You weren't a debtor to me before I loaned you the money. So before I loaned you the $100, you weren't a debtor to me. You might have been a debtor to somebody else, but you weren't a debtor to me. And the only way that you can come out from under that status is to pay me the $100 back. Even if I forgive you, you're just a forgiven debtor. You're still a debtor. And the Most High said, I'm going to do you one better than that. You go down in this water. You die this death. I'm declaring to you that that old relationship, that old man, ends at death. Can't collect from a dead person. Now you coming up out of the water, resurrected as a new being in HaMashiach. Can you see what the Most High has done for us? Can you see how he changed your status? And then for us to turn around and go right back into sin, can you see what an abomination that is? I not only paid your debt, I made it to where you didn't owe me, and you were a new creature, and you weren't just a forgiven debtor. I made a way for you where there was no way. You couldn't do it for yourself, and nothing and nobody else could. But I made a way for you to change your status. You're no longer a sinner. Because once you sin, you are a sinner. And if the Most High just forgives your sin, then you are a forgiven sinner. You know how they say, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic? It's the same way with sin. It's the same way with debt. As long as you can't get from under those things the right way, you are still that thing. Most I says, no, I did you one better. I didn't just make you a forgiven sinner. I took that off of you. When you died in Messiah, all relationships end at death. So I gave a way that I can give you credit for death without physically killing you. It's a spiritual thing. So we're going to do some physical acts that have spiritual meaning. And we surely don't want to go back and undo it, but that's exactly what we've been doing, is undoing what the Most High did by not understanding, but not having a real understanding of the process and what has happened and what's going on. So we don't want to be ignorant of these things. We want to come to Messiah with a pure heart. We want to understand that we are sinners, or were sinners, and that we have died to those things. And then get buried. Come up a new creature. Let's continue. What are two figures of baptism in Torah that are referred to in the New Testament? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we read verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All Israel had to be baptized. It was just not the same way that the Most High said, I'm going to baptize the new covenant. Exodus Exodus chapter 14, verses 20 and 21. Exodus chapter 14, verses 20 and 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and Yah caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went in the midst of the sea upon dry ground. Now they're going into the water, but they're not going to get wet. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. So they passed through the water. Then we're going to see that, or would have read that, they passed through the cloud. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of Elohim waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward Elohim by the resurrection of Yahshua HaMashiach. So Noah's ark is also a reference to salvation by water and baptism. Genesis chapter 6. And this is, I'm just going to read this straight. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. We're going to read through Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of Elohim saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And Yah said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of Elohim came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children of them, bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And Elohim saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Remember, they only have one law at this point. The Most High only told Adam and Eve, don't eat from that tree which is in the midst of the garden. He hasn't given the law or any law at this point. And he's saying that their thoughts are only evil continually. They just think about doing wickedness. And it repented Yah that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. And Yah said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repents me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yah. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with Elohim. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was all corrupt before Elohim. The earth also was corrupt before Elohim. And the earth was filled with violence. Now you've got to ask yourself, what kind of violence are they doing? Okay? And Elohim looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his ways upon the earth. When he says all flesh, he means all flesh, men and beasts, not just men. Men and animals. We'll read that in a minute. Elohim looked upon the earth, behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his ways upon the earth. And Elohim said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof with the lower. Second and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. Another covenant here, which we're going to cover. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of the fowls after their kind, and of the cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee, to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee all the food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that Elohim commanded him, so did he. And Yah said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by seven. Now wait a minute, male and female, male and his female by sevens, not seven couples. So it's male and female and one extra male. Okay? And the beasts that are not clean, the male and his female. Of the fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and his female, to keep seed alive upon the face of the earth, all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth. 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Noah did according unto all that Yah commanded him, and Noah went in and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two by two unto Noah into the ark, male and the female, as Elohim had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the deep, great deep, broken up. And the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them, into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that were in went in male and female of all flesh, as Elohim had commanded him. And Yah shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased. Bear up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters prevailed, and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered, 15 cubits upward, did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both fowl and of cattle and of beasts and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died, and every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and of cattle and of creeping things and the fowls of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth in 150 days. And Elohim remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And Elohim made a wind to pass over the earth. And the waters assuaged or began to go down. The fountains also of the deep and of the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from the heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. And in the 10th month on the first day of the month were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her into him into the ark, and he stayed yet another 7 days. And again he sent, which returned again, and and yet he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth a dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, in the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dry. And Elohim spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all the flesh, both fowl and of cattle, and every creeping thing that is in that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, and every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kind, went forth out of the ark. And Noah built an altar unto Yah, and took every clean of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And Yah smelled the sweet savor, and Yah said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing, as I have done while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, night and day shall not cease. All right, we're at 657. Let's do one more question. Let's go to the book of Luke. What happens when we accept or reject the counsel of Yah? What happens when we accept or reject the counsel of Yah? Luke chapter 7, verse 29. And all the people that heard him, and all the publicans, justified Elohim, being baptized with the baptism of John. They accepted the counsel of Elohim. Verse 30. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of Elohim against themselves, being not baptized of him. So they didn't obey the voice of Yah. The Pharisees, they didn't get baptized. They disqualified themselves for the kingdom. But when we accept his counsel, if we're going to do what he says to do, we're going to do what he says to do. If he says you must be born of water and of spirit, you're going to make sure that you do both of those. You're going to make sure that you obey his voice and that you accept his counsel. This is what I have determined. It's going to be the way of salvation for mankind. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you for your rich word tonight. We thank you for allowing us to see and to understand that we must be baptized of the water. That we will not let anyone tell us that we don't have to be. It don't serve a purpose. We understand that even if you fill us with your spirit first, we must be born of the water. As well. We must complete and obey your complete word. All of it. Even if we don't understand. Father, we just want to be your obedient children. We want to be your obedient children. We want to do what you say to do. We want to accept your counsel, Father. We want to obey your voice. Help us. Convict us in our heart if we have not done it. Remove any spirit that would prevent us from completing this assignment, because without completing this assignment, we shall not enter in. We can't be halfway in. We have to be all the way in. Help us to commit, Father. Again, I pray, Father, any spirit, any demonic force, any spirit that is self-willed, Father, we rebuke it right now in the precious name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. We command that it depart even now, that it shall not have a place in any earthen vessel, Father, that you have chosen. Run that spirit out even now. Let it depart from the person. Even as they hear my voice, Father. For all things are possible with you. And we turn all things over to you, Father. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right. On next week, we still got, we really only had two more questions in this lesson. And really, we've already talked about these, so I'm going to consider this as this lesson as being completed, because we've already talked about when should we be, get baptized again a second time. Okay. And so I'm going to consider this lesson on water baptism, the importance of water baptism, completed. All of you should have a copy of this as well. On next week, we will talk about the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. This is the spirit whereby we must be baptized in. Every man, woman, and child. If we are not born of the Ruach HaKodesh, if we're not baptized into the Ruach HaKodesh, we are none of his. Don't matter what we say out of our mouth. This is that thing that cannot be played with, cannot be toyed with. When you play with this, if you deceive yourself, if you don't want to be honest with yourself, you truly are relegating yourself to the lake of fire. So we want to spend the necessary time in the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Messiah said you must be born of the water. We have covered the water in depth. The reason why, what it serves. You are baptized into his death. You are buried with him in baptism. Got to be baptized into him, his name. So it's not just, you know, an outward expression of an inward change. It has, it's a physical act that has a spiritual effect. It impacts in the spiritual. Now we want to talk about the Spirit of the Most High himself, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. That will be next week. We will start that lesson on next week. We have the new moon service plus the Feast of Tabernacles coming up in just a second here. Let me get all of those dates. Okay, so new moon service, the night of the 5th of September. That's also the Feast of Trumpets, the same night. I pray that we all come together, that we are prepared for an extended service, because it is like a high holy day. We have the new moon, which we're commanded to observe, and we have the Feast of Trumpets, which we are commanded to observe. They are the same day. Okay. 5 September. That evening. It's actually the 6th, but you know the day starts at sunset, so it will be the night of the 5th. And then we have the Day of Atonement on the 15th, September 15th, and then starting on the 20th, the Feast of Tabernacles. In September. Also, on the 26th of August, as I said, it'll be 1 year, and I do want to have a service and celebrate that with all of you. Okay, so I pray that we can all be here for that celebration. As I said, if I don't have an address for you, if you will text me, I want to make sure that I get something out before that date so that it arrives on time or what have you, for all that are able to attend. Yah is good, and he's been good, and it's been a great year. And he has moved us in so many ways and revealed to himself to us. And I know that our respect and our fear of him has gotten greater in this past year, that we have a closer relationship with him. And so we want to celebrate him and our walk with him on the 26th. And then we will keep the feast days, as I have said, mention them. And I will mention them after each precept so that, you know, I want to drum it into us so that we don't forget. They're also on the website. But we should know what these days are already. So I pray that the Most High encamp his angels around you, that they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High Elohim loves you. Shalom, family. See you on Thursday, family business night. Family business night. The following week will be the 1 year celebration.
Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. You created the world and the universe. And everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a bus. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall.